So this is our third week of the Beyond Sermon Series. It's our third week of the Beyond Initiative. And the first week, our sermon title was Beyond Me. And we talked about losing our minds. We talked about losing our minds so the mind of Christ Jesus would be in us, that we would go beyond ourselves so that we could be more like Christ. And then last week, our sermon title was Beyond Our Imagination, and we looked at Jesus and the feeding of the 5,000, and the little boy who brought forth his lunch, and Jesus did something with that was far beyond what I'm sure he could imagine. And then we talked about the history of this congregation, and we heard from some people who'd been here from the beginning, and the ways that God has worked and exceeded their imagination in the ways God has worked through the life of this congregation. And so today our sermon title is Beyond These Walls. And in many ways that seems like an obvious title because we've been talking a lot about walls. We've been talking about going beyond the walls of our current sanctuary to create more seating. We've been talking about walls, about building a new building. But hopefully by this point you have heard that the Beyond Initiative is not just about a building. It's not just about new walls. But it's about what these walls can allow us to do. And so I want you to keep that in mind this morning as we hear our scripture. It's from Acts, the very beginning of Acts. And Acts is a continuation of Luke's gospel. And so Luke, the author of Luke's gospel, also wrote Acts. And so it's just kind of continuing where he left off. And it begins with Jesus, and he's with the disciples, and he is about to ascend into heaven. And so today's scripture is going to talk about the ascension, but what I hope that you will really listen for and pay attention to are the things that Jesus says before he ascends. So let's hear our scripture from Acts. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over the course of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, they were gazing up towards heaven. Suddenly, two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So the tricky thing about the Beyond Initiative, the tricky thing about the life of a disciple, is that often we only get a glimpse. We only get a snapshot of the bigger things that God is doing, of the ways that the Holy Spirit is at work. Sometimes it's only in hindsight that we see the fruit of the Spirit, that we see the ways that God was working in and through us in our lives. And oftentimes we may never know the ways that God has worked, that the Spirit has worked through us. The Christmas Miracle Mission is a great example of this because what happened was amazing. And when we gathered together, really, we still are celebrating that God did so far beyond, that all of you gave faithfully, that you cut your Christmas spending, and that we rejoice at $265,000 for homes for homeless families. But that is only a snapshot of what God will do, about how God will go beyond from that offering, because it's likely that we will never know the full extent of that. For we're not going to know every family who lives in each one of those homes. And even if we have the chance to meet some of those families, we likely won't know their story as it continues, as they move out of that house, about how maybe their time in that home was the bridge or the stepping stone to their life out of poverty, out of homelessness. But the snapshot we got is pretty incredible. And this is true all the time. It's especially true when we think about missions and when we go on mission trips, for we go out to places, whether to Sakahatchee or Guatemala or Tanzania or wherever, and we spend a week or two and we build relationships and we do construction or help with other projects and we plant seeds, but then we leave and we go back home. And we caught a glimpse of the way that the Spirit was working, a glimpse of the way that God is at work, but we may never know how the story continues. And I was thinking about how that's true in missions, but that's really true in all aspects of the life of a disciple, and how that is true in my life and my story. I've said since I was appointed to Advent that Advent reminds me a lot of the church I grew up in, especially where Advent is now compared to the church I grew up in, where they were when I was there. Because my home church, St. Timothy, is probably about 15 years older than Advent is. And it's a church in a similar community, in an area with great school systems, in a suburb that has just grown exponentially, and the congregation has grown as well. And I've spent a lot of time thinking about how that congregation, about how St. Timothy went beyond. It was probably about 15 years ago when I was in the fifth or sixth grade that they launched a project similar to ours, where they expanded the sanctuary, where they built a new children's education wing. And I remember all that went on with that. I remember worshiping in the gym for a long period of time and all the excitement. And even more than that, I remember all of the people we kept welcoming into our doors after that project was completed. But even more than thinking about the buildings, I think about all of the people in that congregation who went beyond, who invested in that church, who still invest in that church, in its missions, and in children and youth just like me, as they sought to make disciples. I went on my first mission trip with St. Timothy as a seventh grader, and let me tell you, it was rough. So we went a few hours away in further southern Louisiana, even further south than New Orleans, so kind of in swamp land where it was August, there were lots of mosquitoes, it was humid, and especially as a seventh grader, I was not so into manual labor. And it was a rough couple of days. And yet, despite that, and the fact that I'm sure I was incredibly difficult at times, our youth director continued to love me, to encourage me, to invest in me, as did the other adults on that trip. And over the years and in my time there, I saw the fruits of their labor, of their investment, and I had so many more opportunities. I started singing in the praise band when I was 15 and had the opportunity to lead worship regularly. I served on church council. I helped with children's worship. I eventually warmed up a little more to the idea of manual labor and went on mission trips to Appalachia and inner city Chicago. And then in the months and years following Katrina, I spent time working in our own backyards and the lives of people in our congregation, our community, helping clean and rebuild. I took youth disciple. I was involved in small groups. I served in leadership in a variety of capacities. And so many people poured into me and my friends. And during my time there, I learned what it means to be a disciple, what it means to have an active prayer life, to study scripture, to give faithfully of time and talents and finances. And the foundation that was laid there for me, it continued as I left that place, as I went on to Clemson, where I got involved in the Wesley Foundation, where I had the chance to sing in the praise band and to be a small group leader and eventually to serve on staff, where I had the chance to go beyond the walls of our campus and our church to serve in the community and beyond our borders on three mission trips to the Bahamas. And all of those things ultimately helped to lead me to seminary. And as an aside here, I know a lot of pastors who say that they knew at a young age that they were going to be pastors, that they knew as kids or teenagers that that was kind of where they were headed, but I am not one of those people. And even as I tell these stories and I look back, I can see in hindsight how the Spirit was at work, how things were preparing me to be in ministry now. But let me tell you that the decision to go to seminary came only after I was whacked across the head with a 2x4 and through lots of tears. But especially last year, as I was getting close to ordination and thinking about all of that, I couldn't help but think about all the ways that the Spirit had clearly been at work in my life, preparing me for all of this, for all of the people. And of course, they're the obvious people, my family, my closest friends, pastors who are mentors, those who laid hands on me at ordination. But even more than that, I kept thinking, would I be here? Would I be preparing for this if it hadn't been for St. Timothy? If there hadn't been a people, a congregation who went beyond themselves, who took and still continue to take seriously their mission to make disciples for the transformation of the world. And it's not like it's just me. I think about so many of my friends who grew up at that church with me, like my friend Ashley, who was one of my closest friends in youth. And Ashley now is a teacher, and she teaches in a low-income school in inner city Jackson, Mississippi. And in addition to spending all day in the classroom with kids, she works in children's ministry at her church, even though she doesn't have children. And she even served as an interim volunteer children's director when they were in between staff. Or I think about my friend Paige, who is a nurse, and almost all of her posts on Facebook and social media are about how humbled she is that God called her to be a nurse, about the ways that she sees God working in her patients and the staff, and she's already in her mid-20s been on multiple medical mission trips. And I wonder, would all of us be doing the things that we were doing, going beyond the walls of St. Timothy, serving in different communities and states, if the people in that church hadn't made a commitment? For I'm sure when they did that, they didn't know what all that it was going to entail. They weren't envisioning that this gaggle of, you know, awkward middle schoolers were going to go beyond and do all kinds of different things. And I suspect that many of those people may never know that, about the impact that they had. And there are stories like that here, too. We look at our kids who grew up here who are now adults who serve as teachers or in medical fields or who are going into ministry for themselves. People who are involved in their church and whatever community they live in, or people who grew up here who are back serving in leadership. Some of you know more of these stories than others, but I promise you there are many. And we have no idea what the next 30 or 40 or 50 years will hold for those and for all of the children and students who are here now and how they might go beyond because of the seeds, because of the formation that happened here. Jesus says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth." And we have seen the ways that people who have been a part of this congregation, people who grew up here, have gone to the ends of the earth. And even though you may not all have that opportunity to physically go, you can still be a part of the things that God is doing beyond these walls, for the power of the Holy Spirit is upon this congregation. And it's really easy to see that, especially when we talk about the big things, about Full Dimensions and all that's happened in Tanzania. When we talk about the Christmas Miracle Mission, when we talk about Hope Academy and the care they provide to our community, when we talk about GAIN or all the people who come and serve at March Mission Madness. But the power of the Spirit goes beyond even those things that seem like the big things that we celebrate. For the power of the Spirit is present and working in all kind of ways and lives. And so in a moment, we're going to watch a video. And this video, if you were here a couple weeks ago, you might have seen Jane and Mario De Carvalho, and they were out filming, and they did what they called on-the-street interviews. They just stopped people and asked them questions about why they love Advent, how they see Jesus at work here, and why they're excited to go beyond. And none of these people were scripted or told ahead of time. It's just what they said when they stopped on camera. And so let us watch and see what they have to say.
That there's lots of good people there that are nice, and we have good teachers and pastors.
You become the hands and feet of God, and I think that's one of the great things that Advent takes pride in, is going into communities that need some help and just going in with arms wide open and helping those less fortunate than us.
I go to Advent because of the people. I feel like the people here are on fire for Christ, and I feel like the people here just is a very loving, accepting community.
It's just amazing that all the blessings that God has done for His church. Sometimes the analogy I would use is that Jesus said that the kingdom is like a mustard seed. And I did not realize what that meant until now. You see now everything. This tree has grown.
My daughter, every Sunday she wakes up and says, "We're going to church." I mean, we would come anyway, but just knowing that our children love their time here, and they love the people here, and they're really shown God's love. And I don't think there's a better testimony than that for a church.
Singing in the choir.
I love Vacation Bible School. And a little more about Jesus.
In everything. And the people, in the church itself, in the buildings. It's just God is here. It's Advent's name, God is here, you know. So he really is. He has done so many wonderful things here in our church. I'm proud to be a part of.
I see God moving through the people of this congregation, through not only the ministers and the staff, through the relationships that I've developed, through small groups, disciple Bible study, the committees I've had the honor to serve on, moving in unison towards creating disciples of Jesus Christ throughout this community.
I think Jesus is everywhere at Advent. I think He's in the people, in the building, in our missions, in the small groups, the children.
Since I've been coming here since I was born, I just have seen all my friends grow up here and just really become a community, and just how they show me Christ every day.
Oh, I see Jesus there. When I walk in the building, when I drive by, I'm drawn to Advent because of the mission. I know that I can't one person change the world, but little by little, with the things that I'm able to help with Triune, with GAIN, with Shepherd's Gate, with my circle, I feel like that I am making a difference. And that just, I feel like I'm serving God by being at Advent.
We are. We're very excited about all the children's programs and things for our little people to do, because we sure have a lot of them.
I think it's awesome. I think growing and bringing in more members and more young people to help spread the love of Christ is just amazing, and I'm super excited about it.
Well, I just say that it's going to be a good opportunity to make the church bigger.
Very exciting, because I've seen like the CLC be added on, and just how everyone's been able to grow around that, and so I'm really excited to see what's coming in the next few years.
The growing and expanding church, always, yes. There's always room for one more, in this case, multitudes more. So, yes. Yeah, our mission is to go fishing. So, there you have it.
I don't ever feel bad to ask God for more, so I really don't feel anything except that I'll dig a little deeper and do what needs to be done to give back for Advent, because I know Advent's going to serve the community.
I truly believe in tithing. I think if you want to be blessed, that's God. God promises us in the book of Malachi that test Him and let Him show you how much more you will have and what He will do for you if you do what He asks, which is tithe. And I think that we have quite a few in our church that don't realize that and are not getting the blessings that God wants them to have because of that.
Where do you go to church, Will?
Here. I love Advent.
just like the life of a disciple, this video only gives us a snapshot, a glimpse of the power of the Holy Spirit at work here in our lives. And I'm sure that all of you, as you sit here, can think about how the Spirit has worked in your life, in the life of this church, how it's helped to lead you or others beyond. We showed this video on Thursday evening. We had a time of worship, and we invited everyone who is a church leader, which meaning they serve on a committee or as committee chair. We invited them here to worship, and then they were invited to make their commitment to the Beyond Initiative early. And we showed this video, and then afterwards, Dave Stafford, one of our lay leaders, spoke, and he also wrote the devotion today, if you read that already. And in both his devotion, when he spoke on Thursday, Dave challenged us to think about the 11 disciples. And those 11 guys standing on the mountain as Jesus prepares to ascend into heaven. And the last things that Jesus says in Matthew's gospel, Jesus says, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And in Acts, Luke records that Jesus says, go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to all the ends of the earth. And then Jesus ascends into heaven and is gone. And these 11 guys, these 11 misfits who don't necessarily have a lot of other experience or training, are left with this incredible task, this incredible mission. And what happens? The Holy Spirit comes upon them. They receive power, and they are witnesses to the gospel. And they go, and the word spreads all the way to the ends of the earth, across thousands of years, across generations. And now here we are. And the charge is the same. Go and make disciples. Go be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. And it's exciting. And it's terrifying. And it requires us to continue to take steps in faith and to do so knowing that we may only get a glimpse. We may only get a snapshot of all of the ways that God is going beyond. But as I reflect on the snapshots that I've seen, thinking about the Christmas miracle missions, about the work that this congregation has done in Tanzania, as I think about Taylor and Will and Abby, who we saw in the video, and of the youth and all of the people of all ages in that video. And as I think about my own life and how it is already so far beyond anything I would have ever imagined for myself or imagined how God could ever use me. And I know that I have to take the next step, even if it's scary. For the power of the Holy Spirit is upon us, leading us beyond these walls and to the ends of the earth. Amen.